Ben Groundwater is a travel writer who writes for The Age. He has written an article today, Seven Big Myths We Tell Tourists About Australia, Busted. Seven Big Myths We Tell Tourists About Australia, comma, Busted. Boy, if clickbait was a thing, this would be it. Anyway, he sets up what could be called straw man arguments. Anyway, these are the myths. Perth is the world's most isolated capital city. Sydney has Australia's best weather. Melbourne has Australia's best coffee. Brisbane is a big country town. Hobart is a cultural backwater. Byron Bay is a hippie paradise. And there's nothing happening in Canberra. Thought we'd get an expert point of view on this from Belinda Jackson, who's a travel writer and podcast, originally Melburnian, now, well, some might say, is headed north. Good afternoon, Belinda.
Tony, I haven't headed north. I'm here in Melbourne.
Oh,
I'm as you write, as Melburnian as a hook turn.
All right. Okay. Well, I didn't mean to mislabel you in terms of your, geographical affiliation. Let's talk about these myths. You have noticed a glaring omission, which I think is something of an insult to a city and a state that often gets overlooked.
I know. There was no Adelaide in there, which it was quite funny because I went through the comments of Ben's article. I've got to say Ben's a friend of mine. No Adelaide. But then people were saying, well, I actually didn't notice that it was missing until somebody pointed it out. So I feel a bit sorry for Adelaideans.
Yeah, how hard do they have to work? Because they are kicking goals from a tourist point of view at the moment, aren't they?
They are. You know, they used to be called Stradelaide, which was always a bit mean, I thought, and now it's Radelaide, which actually recently they just said, we don't want to be called Radelaide. But, you know, Adelaide in the festival season is a fantastic place to be. You know, the Adelaide Festival and the Fringe is just wild. It's an amazing place to be in those times anyway. I've actually lived in Adelaide and I've seen it grow, moved back and forth a few times. Yeah. It's a great little city. It deserves to be on the list. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about this one, the one that has Melbourne on the brink of riot. Melbourne has Australia's best coffee, a myth according to Ben Groundwater.
Oh, Ben lives in Sydney, and you can tell really, can't
well
you?
Enough said.
He said that apparently, the coffee in the rest of Australia has caught up, and, you know, there was a time that we were great, but everybody else is now doing it. I disagree with Ben. You know, look, I think the thing is Melbourne consistently has good coffee. Its strike rate is much higher than any other city. And there are some cities that it's just dire, you know. You do have to dump it in the bin and walk on. And I found that around the world too. You know, I was in the Middle East recently and they were talking about, here's a flat white for you. It was a three-shot flat white is what the Middle East believes a flat white is.
Wow.
And I know, and I was having a couple of cups of coffee a day and didn't know why my heart was racing. And I had to come back to Melbourne and say, this is a flat white. But I was saying to people, I'm from Melbourne, come on, give me your best coffee. And they'd serve these things up and I was like, so when I come home, I'm always happy. You know, and I love the fact that when we go to like Melbourne Airport, you can go in and get a hit from Brunetti before you get on the plane. And sometimes that's the last decent coffee you'll have until you come back home.
That's a very good point. We're just far more civilised than the rest of Australia, and we don't give ourselves enough credit for that, I would argue. Perth is the most isolated capital city. That's a myth, isn't it?
That was a tricky one. Well, as he pointed out, you know, as people have pointed out, is it a state capital you're talking about, or is it the capital of a country? Because if you're talking about state capitals, he was saying, you know, that Honolulu is incredibly isolated.
Yeah.
But then, it does depend too. This one I'm not so sure of because, this goes into deep maths and stuff like that, but Reykjavik is closer to Edinburgh than Perth is to Adelaide. So that is it does get a bit tricky when you're talking about nautical miles and the different types of measurements on that one. So I reckon we need really a geographer to come in and answer that one.
All right.
Put that one on notice.
All right. Thank you. I will do, Belinda. 133693, places outside of the big cities that you've noticed that people visit in Australia. So how city-centric are we in terms of tourist visits? Is it do cities kind of take up most of a tourist time while they're in Australia, or is it kind of 50-50 between cities and the incredible natural wonders that we have outside of the Big Spoke?
Well, that's the funny thing, really, isn't it? I mean, if you come to Australia, do you come just to visit all of the cities, or do you come to visit the things that you can't see anywhere else? And I think that's the point of travel. You know, travel is a rejection of globalization. So you go somewhere to see something like there's only one Eiffel Tower. Well, one real Eiffel Tower, if you don't, you know, count the ones in Vegas and China. But, you know, in Australia, so that really means the Great Barrier Reef, Uluru, Kangaroo Island is enormously popular, hugely popular, and the Great Ocean Road. You've seen the traffic jams down the Great Ocean Road in peak times. You know, everyone's going down to the 12 Apostles. So they do get, when people are thinking of where they're going to visit, they're actually, I don't believe most people are saying, hey, I'm dying to go to Brisbane. I think that they say, I want to go to Uluru and I want to go in Kurratjuta. You know, I want to see koalas and in their natural state. I want to go and, you know, look at the kangaroos and those emus down on, you know, particularly on Phillip Island. You know, Phillip Island is a day trip, is one of the top rating day trips out of Melbourne. It's not in Melbourne. It's out there, but especially in the holidays, you have to book ahead, and you can book weeks ahead to get a place at the Penguin Parade and all of the other wildlife experiences around it.
I think you made a great point. If you were to take a photo of yourself in the Brisbane CBD, because of the obliteration of anything old and the rise of kind of postmodern glass tower blocks, you could be in one of 1,000 cities anywhere in the world. But if you are at Phillip Island, you know you're at Phillip Island because there's penguins in the background, or nothing looks like Ayers Rock or Uluru, for example. So in the age of social media, has that almost amplified the appeal of really unique physical features that we have in this country?
Oh, look, who doesn't love a selfie? You know, and that's what Rottnest Island is trading on too. You know, it's going to Rottnest in WA and getting a photo with a quokka, which, you know, every tennis player that's ever come to the, to the Oz Open has done. And that's exactly that. It's something that you can get only in one place and nobody else is there. And, yeah, that's the point of selfies and, you know, I'd argue the point of travel on social media, definitely. So it sort of ties in with that, you know, that other great myth that everything in Australia is trying to kill you, which it has its elements. You know, you always empty your shoes out when you're camping, you know.
Yeah.
And also going back to Phillip Island, emus are never on that list, and yet, have you ever been in one of those places where you get to feed the kangaroos and the emus, and the emus come running across the paddock at you, and you think, oh, my Lord Father, this is like, you know, this is the end of me. Like, they are really big animals with these giant eyes and stuff like that. So I don't know how many videos I've seen of people being, you know, running away from, terrified from emus, you know, chasing for the food.
The point I always make about Phillip Island, especially in summer, it's the only place where if you go in the water, your bottom half is suffering hypothermia, your top half is getting heat strokes. So thankfully your body just splits the difference and keeps you alive.
We got the best beaches. Yeah,
they're great to look at. Just don't go in the water, whatever you do, Phillip Island. It's got a lot to recommend it, but swimming, no. So in your capacity as a global traveller yourself, Belinda Jackson, who brings us the podcast The World Awaits, which is available via Apple Podcasts and Spotify, what do people often ask you about Australia? If they buttonhole you and say, hey, you're from Australia, and then they might ask you a question about the place that's, as you pointed out, there are myths about Australia that people believe overseas. What have you encountered?
I have been complimented on my excellent English. You know, for an Australian, you speak really good English. I'm like, well, hello there. what do you think we're speaking? That one. I actually met a few years ago, I met a couple of Austrians hiking, and they said to me, oh, yes, we are always asked about the kangaroos. And in fact, let me tell you, in Vienna at the tourist hotspots, you know where you can buy your fridge magnets and your T-shirts, there is a T-shirt that actually says there are no kangaroos in Austria, which I always thought was quite priceless. But of course, still everybody thinks that kangaroos jump down the main street, and when they do, you know, there was one a couple of months ago in the north of Melbourne, if I remember rightly. You know, it always makes the news, and the international media adores it. But you know, it does happen occasionally, and I was living You know, I was living in Gippsland for a while, and the kangaroos would actually run down the main street, which my husband is not from Australia. He videoed and nearly died and sent to all of his friends who just thought it was a fake. So
you definitely would. That is a priceless moment. Belinda, thank you so much for your time. You're a travel writer, podcaster, The World Awaits is your podcast, and I hope I speak to you again soon. Thank you.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Tony.
Back in a moment. It's 12 minutes.